The trial of James Crumley, the father of the Oxford High School shooter, now rests in the hands of the jury. Deliberations began yesterday following compelling closing arguments presented by both the prosecution and the defense. And joining us on the JR Morning Live line to analyze the case is Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law. Todd, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
So from your perspective, did Prosecutor McDonald prove her case beyond a reasonable doubt, or could this be a different outcome for James Crumley than it was for his wife?
Well, anything's possible. I think the government, I think Karen McDonald and her team did with the proofs, with the facts. I think they met the elements, but I will say this. I think the defense did a great job compared to what we've seen in the past, but she did an excellent job. She brought out some great arguments, argued the things that were common sense. She was very efficient, confident, and did a wonderful job. I just think the facts of this case are pretty clear. He was the owner of the gun. He was responsible for the gun. The fact that, you know, just go back to that day, him seeing those photographs, or not photographs, but the drawings of his what his son was doing. Those were all very concerning, and just ordinary care, would have prevented all of this. What does he do after the shooting? He rushes home after a period of time to look for the gun. So that to me, you know, puts it in the foreseeability category. It was foreseeable that this was going to happen.
Todd, what was different from the defense point of view this time?
I think, you know, James Crumley was humanized differently this time compared to his wife. He had two videos that came into play, and that's, you know, a big reason probably why he didn't take the stand. But, you know, he was emotional. I love you. I love you. I love you. You know, he was caring in that part. The second video, when he's with the police and his wife is saying, maybe we should talk to a lawyer. He's like, no. What do you need? You know, he's trying to cooperate. I think that was a big part. The defense attempted to and did the plan B, which was a perfectly respectable. And that is, hey, listen, the counselors in that room that were there, they didn't foresee this. They didn't have any idea that this was going to happen. And then I think she quoted the principal or the dean that was next to Tate when Tate was mortally wounded, and she couldn't believe it. I have a contra argument to that because I think the counselors are biased. I think, you know, what are they going to say? They're being sued, for crying out loud. They're going to say that, yes, we thought he had a gun or thought it was a potential for him to have a gun. Of course, they're not going to say that. I think that's kind of a self-serving part, but that is the difference, I think.
Todd, in the Jennifer Crumley case, I think we were all a little surprised when, after the conviction, one of the jurors came out and said, yeah, the point that everybody seized on in the jury room was that she was the last one to be in possession of the gun. You never know what a jury is going to seize upon or glom onto to justify their decision. What do you think the most likely nugget will be that may be the tipping point piece of evidence in this case? Is it going to be something like that, the fact that he was the owner? Could it be that he passed by his own house four times and never bothered to check on the gun? Or will it be Karen McDonald's last act, which was to put a gun lock on that gun in as little as 10 seconds?
Wow, guy, I tell you what. So I was wondering when that would come out. I thought that was so powerful, that 10 seconds of putting that gun lock on. You know, it's such a powerful, demonstrative piece of evidence. It's just one of many things, as she puts it eloquently. She puts it, she says, one of many things that could have prevented this from happening. 10 seconds of time, right? And she does that lock. I think it's all of a combination. The jurors can come back with multiple different ways of how they found proof beyond a reasonable doubt. One juror may say, exactly the first thing. He drove by his house, never looked for the gun after that meeting. Or, the powerfulness of just giving ordinary care. That's read over and over. A reasonable person giving ordinary care, that's read over and over and over in the jury instructions, and that 10 seconds of being able to put that lock in. The fact of the matter is that the jury can come back with anything they want to hang their hat on for proof beyond a reasonable doubt. And to the contrary of that, they can come back with anything that gives them pause for, you know, that's one of the lines that many defense attorneys will use is pause for concern or pause for doubt. When you say, you know, it's just not proof beyond a reasonable doubt that he knew or it was reasonably foreseeable to him, you know, to a reasonable person that this would happen. So I think it's going to be a combination of things. I think the evidence is there sufficient enough, and you can glom on to all of those.
And just before, we got about 30 seconds here. Do you think this will be a quick verdict?
I do. I think this is, you know, the jury from all takes has been paying attention. It doesn't sound like there's any, you know, outliers out there on the jury. And they're, you know, common sense type good folks. So I think it will come back relatively quickly. But again, that's all tea leaf reading.
All right. Todd Flood, attorney and managing partner at Flood Law. Always love your introspective on these cases. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys. Have a great day.
All right. You as well. The House approving a bill that calls for China to divest itself from TikTok and ByteDance. We're going to talk more about that with Mike Rogers, former chairman of the House Intelligence Committee and Michigan candidate for U.S. Senate. He's coming up at 6:35 here on JR Morning.